Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Peter Welch, tell me about the intelligence budget and what you're doing.
Well, there's 16 different governmental agencies that gather intelligence, and sometimes they coordinate, sometimes they duplicate, but on the budgets, none of us know what the spending is. So members of Congress, very few of them are really aware of it, and the American public is totally in the blind. So you have a bad combination of unlimited money going out to these intelligence gathering agencies with non-existent oversight. My legislation would require that when the president submits a budget, each intelligence gathering agency's top line number would have to be disclosed. And it would give Congress the first step towards accountability and oversight. And that is really essential. You know, intelligence gathering is vitally important, but that doesn't exempt it from oversight. It really doubles down on the requirement that we do our job.
So is the NSA one of those agencies?
Yes, it is. NSA, CIA, DIA. I mean, it's quite, most people don't know this, but there's literally 16 different intelligence gathering agencies. And, you know, some of the questions that any good manager would be asking is there duplication? Is there coordination? Are we getting our money's worth? You know, when you have this much money going into so many different agencies and the lines of responsibility are not clearly formed, then you're going to end up with duplication, with wasted money, and with dubious policies. And we've seen that, of course, with the NSA, you know, the going beyond the limits of what is at all realistic or reasonable or even effective, the metadata of everybody's telephone logs and everybody's emails. That's got to be stopped. But part of the problem is that when you have no oversight, the people who cook up these ideas don't have to answer questions. How does this make sense?
Sure.
And they're not accountable. So Congress is at fault for this, by the way, because we have the responsibility and we can't hide behind the excuse that this is important work, therefore we shouldn't know about it. We've got to do it right, but we've got to do it.
Now, when you introduce something like this, obviously the Republicans have the upper hand because they're in control of the House. First of all, congratulations on doing it. It'll bring a lot of this to light, which people need to know. But then are they likely to go along with you?
Well, we got bipartisan support on the legislation. One of my co-sponsors is Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, who is the former chair of the Judiciary Committee, and he is the author of legislation I'm a co-sponsor of to try to rein in some of these practices at the NSA. Jim Jordan, who was the former head of the Republican Study Group, is a co-sponsor. Cynthia Lummis, a very conservative but very principled Wyoming representative, is a co-sponsor. So this is where there's a convergence of Republicans, some Republicans and some Democrats, folks who say, hey, wherever you're spending a dollar, let's make sure it's wisely spent, and where there's a civil liberty concern that is shared by many liberal Democrats and conservative Republicans. So we have a shot at doing this. And by the way, what is so wrong with requiring the CIA to explain how much money they're getting or asking from the U.S. taxpayer?
You bet. You're exactly right. But I didn't hear in your list of the Republicans the names Boehner or Ryan.
Well, we'll have to work on them. But, you know, the truth is that oftentimes the senior leaders don't take the lead on legislation, and for some legitimate reasons, but we've got very credible Republican co-sponsors. And keep in mind that on the NSA legislation that Justin Amash, a conservative Tea Party Republican, sponsored, that was reining in the CIA, the NSA, we had an immense amount of Democratic support for that and a lot of Republican support. So this is an area of promise, because on my proposal is really the first but essential step towards accountability and oversight. How much money are you asking for? How much money did you have last year? How much more do you want this year? Why? Those are basic questions that we would ask of any program, and the fact that it's intelligence doesn't exempt it. You know, we're not going to intrude on sources and methods. There are certain things in intelligence gathering, as there is in police work, that have to be kept private. You can't blow up an investigation as it's ongoing. And, of course, in intelligence, you don't want to expose what your sources are. Members of Congress know that. But the intelligence folks have been, in my view, hiding behind that which is the legitimate area of secrecy, to essentially have a blanket of secrecy that protects them from any inquiry and oversight.
So what are they likely to say after your press conference?
We'll see. But they've been fighting this for years, and we've got some support in Vermont. We had these two tremendous career public servants, one with a long-term career in the CIA and the other in the NSA, and they were totally supportive of this. You know, they want to protect sources and methods. It's very serious. But they're public servants, and they know that a lot of the folks who get unlimited power and almost unlimited money can make some pretty big mistakes. So having some oversight so that Congress, on behalf of the American people, can kick the tires and ask the hard questions, that's a good thing, and that's what they said.
Now, you know, of great concern to me and to many other Americans is the idea that we have a FISA court, which I still think is unconstitutional. What can I tell you? You know, people are entitled to open trials where the judges are unknown to us. They might as well be sitting there with hoods on. You know, I know that there's been a lot of reaction to that, including a proposal that there be a people's advocate sitting in the court.
That's right.
What do you make of that?
It's the way we've got to go. Senator Leahy has legislation that he's sponsoring in the Senate, and I'm co-sponsoring a companion bill in the House. But he, as chair of the Judiciary Committee, I think is in a very strong position to make this happen. And what that legislation would do is put an active citizen advocate in the court. So that person would be advocating on behalf of the constitutional privacy rights that each individual has. And what we've seen with FISA, basically, is that the balance between security and privacy has gotten out of whack. Mm. And, you know, it's somewhat understandable after 9/11, and it's always a tension between the two. But it's really gotten out of whack, and you most vividly see that when you've got the NSA literally gobbling up everybody's email, everybody's telephone logs. So Senator Leahy, I think, has a really good idea to have a public advocate there who's just raising the questions at the time that the request is being made, so it's not just a rubber stamp by the FISA court. That legislation, by the way, would also require the publication of many more of the FISA decisions, so there would be a public record that would allow you, the press, and the public to get a sense of what these policies were being developed by the FISA court were.
Did you see the film American Hustle
yet? Not yet.
Well, it's an interesting story. I know a little about it from some personal experience, and that is that the congressman that I worked for as an intern many years ago was one of the abscammed guys. And it was clear that one of the security agencies, you know, the FBI, was setting these people up. They were offering them money, you know. We haven't seen anything like that since then, those kinds of sort of sting operations. But what was really scary about it was that some of these people don't like guys like you, and they might want to get even.
Well, that's true. I mean, the fact is, absolute power, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the whole point of checks and balances in our constitutional system is a respect for the weakness of human nature and the corrupting influence of unlimited power. So whatever the agency is or whatever the office is, if a person has no check on what it is they can do, at some point you're going to get a person acting badly in abusing the power that he or she has. And that is true in a it can be a road building project if there's no oversight, but it's also true as true for intelligence gathering activities.
I got a minute. What do you think of what's happening to Chris Christie?
Well, you know, it's a pretty astonishing thing to use the power of the office of governor to shut down traffic and make life miserable for lots of innocent people. So it's just an extraordinary spectacle, and I think pretty damaging for Christie because, you know, is he a tough and gruff talking straight shooter, or is he a bully? And obviously this raises that question.
It does indeed. We will be back tomorrow with some more.